right, what's going on? Welcome back to Insight with Irv. My name is Irv, right? It's right in the name, but I want to get right into this episode because it's one that I've been getting a lot of messages about, both from startups as well as entrepreneurs that just kind of been in the game for a minute. So if you are a startup, it is day one in business, or you're an aspiring entrepreneur and you put your 2 weeks notice into your business and now you're transitioning and you're wondering, okay, I need something tangible that I can use to grow my brand, grow my business and make more money, right? If not, I'm gonna be in the streets homeless. Well, not necessarily that serious, but you know what I mean. Or maybe you're someone that's been in the game for some time and you're just looking for something fresh. You're looking for something different and you wanna try something new that's gonna help catapult you to that next place. Well, that's you. I have a specific message because I think that this, the same way that it helped me out, it's going to help you out. But more importantly, I really think it's going to help serve those of us that are under that six-figure mark. So if you haven't made six figures yet in your business, like whether it's take home or just, you know, 100 grand, 200 grand, 300 grand, whatever that number is, gross, if you haven't touched that just yet, I think that you're gonna find a lot of value in this episode. Let's get right into it. So these are three things that helped me explode my business. Wanna get right into it. Number one is I became very protective over my time. I believe that time kills deals and distractions kill profits. And I think that when we are, especially in the building phase, right? When we're in the building phase, there's like three phases. There's the building phase, there is the maintenance phase, and then there's a scaling phase. So you'll have phase one, which is your building, and then you kind of get used to like this new threshold that you just pass over in your plateau, and then you're kind of stabilizing that. So there's like a little maintenance phase that happens, and then you go back into scaling. So now you hit like the next threshold, and then you go back into maintenance mode. So every time you hit like a new threshold, it's going to require a new level of focus. It's going to require a new level of just you limiting your distractions. I often see it as sometimes when we're distracted, we end up making decisions that shouldn't have even been something that we should have been dealing with to begin with. And so this can be as simple as keeping your phone out of your room. Like, I wanna get super practical with you. I think that sometimes, especially myself, when I need to crank, or times that I've needed to crank and really go out there, get after it, put out maybe 5, 6, 7 pieces of content for our educational platforms, or if we needed to maybe have a serious team meeting, I would keep the phone out of the room, especially if there was something that I really wanted to bring home to our team, so that we can really bring the point home and so that we can really get over that threshold, or really kind of like that that roadblock that we were facing in the business, in that bottleneck at that given moment. And so limit the distractions that you have. Like, if you're someone who lacks self-control, especially if you're just wondering, hey, I want to get a quick hit of dopamine, and that's not necessarily how we see it in ourselves, but that's essentially what your body's telling you. What you're doing feels so boring, and it feels like you're wasting your time, what you're doing. I promise you, the thing that feels like it's boring, the thing that feels like you don't need it, is most likely the thing that you need to run to or run toward the most at that given moment. Whether that's finishing up that important conversation, maybe that's sending out that email that needs to go out for that next contract that you're trying to get your hands on, or even if it's the hardest call of the day. That would be like the only time that you would want to keep your phone around, is if you're making sales calls. Like, if you're not making sales calls, if you're writing copy for your website, if maybe you are working on a side hustle that you plan on scaling into a full-time business, you need to spend every waking hour working on that by limiting distractions. Yes, if you have to delete IG, TikTok, Facebook off of your phone. I know for some people it gets that serious. If maybe you just wanted to set a timer. Look, if you wanted to take it even to the next point, I knew a guy, and this is crazy, but I knew a guy that he had one of those old school Mac computers. I'm talking about like the old school ones where he can only type to himself. So he could only type because he was working on copy and he was also working on a book, but he would get so distracted even if he had a web browser, because he said, if I have access to Google, like, I'm gone. It was that bad. And so what he would do is he would type out his copy that he would put, he would type down his copy that he would put over on his website, and then he would type up his book. He would snap in a USB, and then he would pretty much send it to himself so that he can go ahead and, you know, put it to use. Like, that's how bad it got. But you know what? You have to also have self-awareness of how much bandwidth you have. And so, you know, if you don't have the bandwidth to have apps on your phone, or maybe if you're always jumping to see who's texting you, even though 9 times out of 10, it's a distraction most likely, or a problem that needs to be solved later on, it's not urgent right now, we're gonna take that bite every time. Number two, and this second point right here, I really want you to pay close attention because it's one that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with, especially when they're starting out, is I fell in love with the process with my ideal clients, not just my services. And so when you spend more time thinking about your customers' problems than they do, you're able to go out and craft a solution for their problem that they've never seen. And so obviously, if your customer or if your ideal client already knew how to do something, they wouldn't be booking a call with you. If your ideal customer or clients already knew how to do something, they wouldn't be in your DMs or shooting you an email asking you, hey, you know, is this something that you can help me out with? You want to focus not just on your product, because the product is really a byproduct of how well you understand your client, your customer, the consumer. However you want to refer to them as, just know that there is a human on the other side of that problem. And so the way that I usually think of this in my own business, which was like an aha moment that I had when I first started helping people build out their business credit, was I was kind of struggling with, well, business credit is one of those things. Is it really, you know, am I really passionate about this? Is it something that, you know, I, you know, feel good about? You know, because there's so many misnomers about credit where people say, well, no one should be using credit because the banks always get the last laugh, right? But then there's other sides of it. Well, if that's the case, then just about every business is going to get, quote unquote, its last laugh because it's all about balance. And so if you go to a restaurant one too many times, you may not necessarily have the healthiest diet, obviously, depending on your meal selection, right? So it's all about balance, which is how I start to shape the way that I think about credit, business credit, personal credit, especially myself being someone that I struggled with getting access to even renting a property just because my credit was in shambles. I've told this story a couple times, and I'll kind of give it to you quickly here. Is I believe I was completely out of debt at the time. Maybe I had like $200 that I owed, like this one collection agency. So I went ahead and finished cleaning off my credits, paid down all the debt that I had to pay down. I was on zero in collections and debt that I owed. Like I was a free man, no student loans, nothing, right? But I had right around $55,000 in my savings account, which was like for me to have. Like it wasn't for our business. It wasn't for ads next month. It wasn't for marketing. It wasn't for payroll. That was 55K that I can, if I wanted to, I can just do with it as I please. But I still wasn't able to get myself a place to rent. The reason for that was because my credit was still shot. And so it was still taking a while to recover. And so these landlords and these what we call property managers, they were asking me, hey, you know, you need to have at least a 650 credit score. My credit score was still on the up and up. It was sitting around 590, 600, so it wasn't there yet. So I would ask them, hey, is it okay if I go ahead and give you 6 to even 8 months worth of rent at the time, which is what rents were, that I can, you know, give you in advance on top of whatever leasing contract you guys have so that I can kind of bypass the credit side. And they would all say no. So that's when I started to tie two and two together. Wait a minute. If I'm struggling with this, there has to be other people struggling with this. And so that's when I kind of started documenting my journey. And then that's when I pieced everything together and I thought, it's not necessarily something that I'm passionate about. Like credit doesn't wake me up in the morning and I say, I can't wait to learn more about credit, right? But what does excite me is what people are able to do with credit. When I started getting the DMs, people sending me their homes, hey, me and my family just got access to our first home because we watched some of your content. We purchased one of your eBooks that I used to sell at the time and we were able to clean up our credit. That's when the product side of it became, okay, product is just a byproduct. Like it's all about the actual person. When people started telling me, hey, I was able to get access to $35,000 in business funding, I can now scale my business. I'm now sitting at $8,000 a month. That replaces my income that I was making at my job and some. I now have time to take my kid to the ball game. Like that to me was when it became tangible. And I'm like, this is why we do what we do, not necessarily just the product. It's about the person that we're serving. And then the third thing that really helped me explode my business, you know, helped to get to six figures, or really the first six figures in this case that I ever saw in my life, was having childlike curiosity. And by the way, all three of these, like, it doesn't stop, right? It helped me get to where I'm at. I hope that it serves you. But I continue to use them even now in my journey to continuing to build where we're headed. So childlike curiosity is a third one. And this is when you constantly look to find what, why, how and when something in your industry works, whether it's a new technique, technology, or system. And then you go out and you actually try. Like, when you find out what's working, how something's working, when it's working, why it's working, we then go out and we apply the most important piece. We then try it. So if there's like a new system, a new app that's maybe helping someone generate more leads faster at a lower rate, maybe lower cost, that may be something that you want to investigate. If you're able to, if maybe you run more of a consultation game and you're used to maybe booking 20, 25 appointments a week, and there's maybe a piece of software or maybe a piece of code that you can put into your website that can maybe automate that process for you, and you can now bump it from 20 to maybe 45, 50 a week, that may be something that you want to investigate, right? That may be something that you actually want to put into play. And so in the game of business, it's all about remaining curious. What's working for them? Why is it working for them? Let me see how I can put that over here on my side and make it work for me. And when we see it from that lens and you actually put it to use, that's when you're able to see some of these outsized returns that a lot of these entrepreneurs post about, but no one ever actually says how they're doing it. And so I hope that you found value in this episode. Again, these were three things that helped me explode my business, helped me make my first six figures. Whether you've been in business for some time, it's your maybe fifth, sixth, seventh year in business and you're still not there yet, or if maybe it's day one, month one that you're starting to get into business, these are things that you want to apply. You don't necessarily have to apply them all at once. Maybe you can apply one of them, see how it works for you, and then obviously make it your own. But as always, if you found value in this content, consider hitting the subscribe button down below, depending on where you're watching, whether it's on YouTube or if you're watching on one of these podcast channels, whether it's Apple or Spotify. And don't forget that it does help this podcast out a ton if you leave a 5-star review. Again, only if you feel that this episode or any other episode that you've listened to was able to help you in anything that you're working on. Until next time, everyone, I will see you in the next episode.